Well, I invite you to turn with me to Matthew this morning, Matthew chapter 26, as we come to look at the institution of the Lord's Supper. We'll be looking especially at verses 17 through 30. That's what I'd like to read for us this morning, Matthew 26, beginning at verse 17, and we'll read down through verse 30. And in this section, of course, we have the institution of the Lord's Supper, the Last Supper of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. This is that last week, the week of Jesus' suffering leading up to his death on the cross, known as Passion Week. And in all likelihood, it is Thursday morning of that week where we start here. Matthew tells us it is the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread. And so we'll look at that, but first let us pray. Heavenly Father, this is your word to us, and we need it like we need food, because we do not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from your mouth. And so feed us your word. Grant that we would taste it by faith, and that we would trust that it is your word, and we would put our trust in Jesus Christ, and we would be sanctified and built up and drawn by your grace to yourself and conformed more and more into the image of your Son. And these things we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Please stand with me then for the reading of God's word. Again, Matthew chapter 26, beginning at verse 17. The word of Almighty God. Now, on the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, the disciples came to Jesus, saying to him, "Where do you want us to prepare for you to eat the Passover?" And he said, "Go into the city to a certain man and say to him, 'The teacher says, my time is at hand. I will keep the Passover at your house with my disciples.' So the disciples did as Jesus had directed them, and they prepared the Passover. When evening had come, he sat down with the 12. Now as they were eating, he said, 'Assuredly I say to you, one of you will betray me.' And they were exceedingly sorrowful, and each of them began to say to him, 'Lord, is it I?' He answered and said, 'He who dipped his hand with me in the dish will betray me. The Son of Man indeed goes just as it is written of him, but woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would have been good for that man if he had not been born.' Then Judas, who was betraying him, answered and said, 'Rabbi, is it I?' He said to him, 'You have said it.' And as they were eating, Jesus took bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to the disciples and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body.' Then he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, 'Drink from it, all of you, for this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. But I say to you, I will not drink of this fruit of the vine from now on, until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom.' And when they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our Lord endures forever." You may be seated. Thursday morning, the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, the day when the Passover lamb was slain. It's a busy day. A day on which a lot of things needed to be done, and for many people, they are not at their homes. They have traveled to the city. They have come to a crowded place. A lamb must be purchased and then brought to the religious authorities at the temple so that they can examine the lamb and make sure that it is an acceptable sacrifice. And if that lamb is acceptable, then it must be slain, its blood shed. But a room also has to be secured on this day in a very busy city, a room in which they will go to eat the Passover meal, and that room has to be furnished, and all the preparations have to be made, the table set, bread and wine provided. It's a busy day. And so early on in the day, the disciples have come to Jesus, and they've asked him that question we read a moment ago: "Where do you want us to prepare for you to eat the Passover?" Now, it's a striking question because maybe you've noticed the disciples emphasized the fact that they want to prepare this so that Jesus may eat the Passover. The disciples want to prepare the meal for Jesus, and they want him to eat this Passover meal, and they think it is important that Jesus comes to the table. And so they ask, where do you want us to go to prepare this meal for you? And Jesus has given them instruction. He's told them where to go, told them what they will find, how all of this will play out, where they will find it, what they must do. And all of that shows us quite clearly that Jesus is indeed God. He is the one who knows all things, and more than that, he orchestrates all things. But there is something here, a little detail that shows us the heart of Jesus. If you look at the disciples' question again in verse 17, where do you want us to prepare for you to eat the Passover? And then we find Jesus' response down in verse 18. The teacher says, my time is at hand. I will keep the Passover at your house with my disciples. The disciples wanted to prepare the meal for Jesus, but Jesus is preparing the meal for them. The disciples wanted Jesus to eat this Passover. Jesus wants them at the table with him. The disciples thought it rightly important that Jesus come to the table and eat. Jesus thinks it is important that they come to the table and sup with him. In Luke's account of this passage, you may recall, Jesus says, I have earnestly desired to eat this Passover with you. Here then is something of the heart of Jesus for his own. He desires earnestly to sit at the table with them. Will the disciples obey Jesus and they find everything exactly as he said it would be to make the necessary preparations? And then in the evening hours of that day, he sat down with the 12. Now the emphasis in this is on the communion, the fellowship with Jesus. Jesus brings his disciples here to sup with him. He has come to eat with his disciples, with one who will betray him, with one who will deny him, and with all who will stumble that very night. Jesus, what a friend for sinners. And now the evening has come, and they are at the table together, Jesus and his disciples, and they're eating this Passover meal together. And as they sat and ate the meal together, Jesus says, one of you will betray me. And that's certainly a warning given to the betrayer. Jesus is making it known to the betrayer that he knows. He knows what is going on. Jesus is saying to the betrayer, I know what you have done. How you have gone to the chief priest to betray me, how they have offered you money, and now you are seeking, even now, how you might conveniently hand me over to them. I know your heart. I know your heart. But it's a warning at this point, not only to the betrayer, but to all the disciples. And to all of us. Jesus does not identify his betrayer by name in order that he might impress upon all of the disciples there and all of us as well the fact that the sin of betrayal is a sin of which we are all capable. It's a warning that we might all see the sinfulness of our own hearts and that the seeds of every sin lie deep within each one of our hearts. And it's a warning spoken in love. Spoken in love. It's a warning that we might see our great need. What a Savior. The blood of that Passover lamb is not enough to atone for sin. The meat of the Passover lamb is not enough to give eternal life. Not all the blood of beasts on Jewish altars slain could give the guilty conscience peace, or wash away the stain. But Christ, the heavenly Lamb, takes all our sin away. A sacrifice of nobler name and richer blood than they. Our sin is great, and we need a great Savior. And that is where Jesus is directing us in this text. But the disciples don't see it yet. And so often we're blind to it as well. Oh, I suppose I could use a little improvement. I guess I'm not perfect. When what we really need is the death of God's own Son. And what do we find the disciples doing after Jesus has given this word of warning, of betrayal? What we often do when we see something of our own sin, our first reaction is so often to come to our own defense. They're grieved by this warning, and they each ask, "Is it I?" Now, the way it's written in the Greek indicates they expect a negative answer. And so it could read, "Certainly not I." The very idea. "I would never deny you." And Jesus responds by issuing the warning again in verse 23. He answered and said, "He who dipped his hand with me in the dish will betray me." Now notice, Jesus still does not identify his betrayer by name. Matthew does that for us, but Jesus does not with the disciples. He simply makes the warning stronger. "It's actually one of you who dips with me in the dish." This is a moving point of the text as Matthew sets it before us. Jesus is highlighting here, it's emphasizing here this intimate act of fellowship, of communion. "And the one who dips with me in the dish will betray me." But this is more than a statement of fact. It's an offering of communion still at this late hour. Jesus is still offering himself and all of his benefits, even to his betrayer. He's offering the way of repentance, an offering which Jesus knows is thoroughly rejected. And so verse 24, "The Son of Man indeed goes just as it is written of him, but woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would have been good for that man if he had not been born." Now, this is not so much a threat as it is a sorrow. Sorrow over his betrayer, over this heinous, heinous sin. A betrayer who pretends close fellowship when he is in fact an enemy of Jesus, seeking to betray Jesus. And yet, here is Jesus offering him the bread. And there's every indication, especially as we look at the other gospel accounts, that he receives the bread from Jesus. And he asks, "Rabbi, is it I?" And Jesus says to him, "You have said it." Jesus, what a friend for sinners, offering himself and all of his benefits, even to the one who would betray him, to the one who would deny him, and to all who would stumble on account of him. He would offer himself and his benefits to sinners like you and me. That's what he's doing in verse 26 and following. Verse 26 and following. "You've heard many times these words. You know them well. It's been a while and we've hungered for them. But those words with which Jesus instituted the Lord's Supper, Jesus took bread, blessed and broken, and gave it to the disciples and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body.' And he did the same with the cup." And all of the actions that Jesus takes here, of all of them, the bread, the cup, the blessing and giving thanks and the breaking of the bread and the pouring of the cup, the most profound action of them all is the giving of it to them, to his disciples. Now, nothing has changed in the bread. Nothing's changed in the cup. They didn't somehow become his physical body and blood. After all, he's still standing there in front of them. But what he has done, he's taken these ordinary things of bread and wine and consecrated them. He set them apart. And he said, "These things are symbolic of me. These things are symbolic of what I am about to do." He was giving his body to be broken for sinners. He was giving his blood to be shed for sinners. And he's saying, "Here is the Savior you need, the sacrifice you need." And the focus here at this table is not so much on the bread and the cup. And that's good, because I don't want you to focus on that this morning. The focus here is not on that so much as it is on the one who gives himself and all of his benefits to sinners. And Jesus draws our attention to those benefits, verse 29. But I say to you, I will not drink of this fruit of the vine from now on until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. Here is Jesus on the night in which he was betrayed, the night before he goes to the cross, the night before he will die in our place, in our stead. And what is he doing by the bread and the cup? He's pointing them to the cross, but he's also pointing them far beyond the cross. As if to say, while this is the Last Supper, while I'm instituting the Lord's Supper here tonight, this is not the final meal. This is a temporary meal, a foretaste. This is pointing you to a far greater table even. The great wedding banquet of the bride and of the lamb. What I am doing on the cross tomorrow is securing that table and your place at that table for all eternity. What I'm doing is giving you heaven. See, the feast of love is spread. Drink the wine and break the bread. Sweet memorials till the Lord calls us round his heavenly board, some from earth, from glory, some severed only till he come. And so it is fitting that after these things, they would sing a hymn and then go out. Because what is it that fills heaven but the song of triumph? Songs to the Lamb, where forever he will be given praise and glory and honor and adoration to him who has given himself for us. And so they sang a hymn and they went out to the Mount of Olives. And what Jesus began and instituted there is our privilege to celebrate here today. Let me read those words of institution again. Jesus took bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to the disciples, and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." Then he took the cup and gave thanks, and gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you, for this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins." And as we come to the table of the Lord today, as Jesus invites you to sup with him in this way until he comes again, we are mindful that this meal is not for the righteous, but for the unrighteous. It's not for the healthy, but for the sick. It's not for the worthy, but for the unworthy. In fact, it's not for those who see no need of a Savior, but it's for those who see their desperate need for a Savior. Indeed, what makes you worthy to come to the table of the Lord is the realization and the confession of your own unworthiness. The realization and confession of the supreme worthiness of the Lord Jesus Christ. And here you see something of his heart. He doesn't need this meal. But you do. And he is pleased to bid you to come and sup with him. Come then to the table, sinners broken by the fall. Come, claiming no worth or merit in yourself, but claiming only the worth and merits of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Come, eat of the bread. Come, drink of the cup. Come, taste and see that the Lord is good. Amen.